Welcome, everybody, to The Lonely TARDIS, a very special episode. We're in between Doctor Who seasons. You haven't heard from us since December. A lot's happened, at least on our side, just because we've been so freaking busy. And we've been trying to get this podcast up and running, at least this episode, for a couple weeks now, and having issues all throughout that time. But therefore, Marcus and Stephen won't be joining us this week. But it is Sean and I taking the helm of the TARDIS. The Doctor only has two companions, but I'm sure he'll make do. Until we get our new naming conventions going for these podcasts, at least we can enjoy talking about all the happenings since then. How's it going, Sean?
It's going good, man. It's going going good.
That's good. It's been a while. It's been a while since we've recorded.
Yeah. But, you know, it's one of those things. You get back in the room, you get back in the TARDIS, yeah. And feels like we never left. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, most definitely. And there's been a lot of information that's been bubbling up over the last few months since we've been out. So we'll get to it. But we did want to jump right in to the topic that we didn't get a chance to talk about, which is the last Christmas episode of Doctor Who. So that was a good 4 months ago. But I think the conversation is still floating around in my head. I actually ended up rewatching it just a couple days ago to get primed, or about a week ago to get primed for this. So I can read a quick little synopsis, and then Sean, I don't know how much you remember of it, but feel free to jump in and we'll just take it from there. So as it goes, Christmas Eve, Clara, hears some noises on her roof, her apartment roof, heads upstairs and sees Santa, played by Nick Frost. By the way, Frost, Santa, I always thought that was a fantastic combination. The perfect name for the perfect actor to play the part. It's Santa and a couple elves. And then the Doctor shows up and whisks Clara away. And they go to the North Pole, right? Is where they end up. And there's a scientific base up there. And the scientists are studying these weird crab-like aliens that are sticking to people's faces. Upon further review, they come to find the Doctor and Santa and the scientists all kind of convene, and they come to find out that these crabs are dream crabs, and they are actually sending people into these kind of deep slumbers. It's essentially Doctor Who Inception, because they don't know how many layers deep these dream crabs and the dreams go. So by the end of the episode, they've managed to kind of, get these dream crabs off of them, or so they think, because we do see the tangerine, which was a recurring theme throughout the episode. Santa brought over a tangerine. Santa is, by the way, supposedly a figment, a part of Clara's dream, but is he? Who knows? We did see the tangerine in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, that's it. There was a lot of interesting things that happened. Clara, we get Danny Pink again. Clara talks to him in her dream. There's a lot of admissions of, Doctor and Claire kind of telling each other how they kind of lied to them about, lied to each other about their thought and their feelings, you know, during that last great episode with, Missy, gosh, it's been so long with Missy. And then, you know, the Doctor lying about having found Gallifrey and Claire lying about,
Yeah, Danny. A lot happened leading into Christmas. A lot happened. And then I thought it was a nice touch that they apparently hadn't seen each other for a while.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
At least that's what was implied, right?
Right, exactly. And who knows how long that was, because it could have been decades, hundreds of years for the Doctor, but it was could have been, you know, just a few days for Claire. Who knows? Anyway, so that's kind of the synopsis. Without diving too deep into it. In my opinion, it was Inception, Doctor Who Inception. When I first watched it, I've got to say, just flat out opinion, we'll start with that. When I first watched it, I didn't necessarily like it. Let me rephrase that. I wasn't in love with it. I had a lot of thoughts like, oh man, we've seen this before. This was a popular movie just a couple years ago. And I think that's what was initially holding me back.
And in the '80s.
Exactly. In the '80s. And I thought, oh man, it could have been so much more. And then I realized, well, the doctor who has done this so often with things like, you know, Ebenezer Scrooge and all that kind of stuff. So, after rewatching it a couple of times, because I think I saw it right around after the Christmas Day watching it, which, by the way, has become a wonderful tradition. Get home from family and friends Christmas night and watch Doctor Who. How did you, you know, for me, it was fantastic because my daughter went to bed. My wife went to bed. It was about 10:30 at night. And I sat down and I had, you know, had a glass of wine with me and I watched Doctor Who on Christmas night. It was so awesome and relaxing. I was very tired, but you know, it was worth it. The house was completely quiet except for the doctor and me and Clara. Well, what about you? Like, how did you watch it? First of all, when did you watch it?
So this is actually the first year since I think the Tenet years where I didn't watch it live or, you know, on Christmas night. Mm-hmm. Because I was waiting for Kat, who, you know, I had gotten into the series this year, and we watched all the Capaldi stuff together every week, and she was a real trooper, not giving Doctor Who a shot. So, you know, we weren't hanging out until a couple days after Christmas. So it was an interesting feeling knowing that, like, it had aired three or four days prior.
Sure.
It had taken a lot of self-control not to do that.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, sitting down and watching it one of the December nights, it was good. You know, you know, as you know, I was a pretty big fan of the Capaldi stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I was happy seeing that they kind of kept it, kept it on the rails. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't some crazy, wacky, you know, change of pace or whatever. It was a crazy, weird, pseudo scary, you know, for Doctor Who, not really scary, you know, episode of the show with a really, I thought, impressive homage to, you know, Alien and Aliens and stuff like that. And I'm sure I thought about it at the time, but as I'm thinking about it now and, you know, thinking about it a couple months ago, the only thing I thought, you know, came back to my mind until I really stopped and tried to remember the episode was the face hugging, right? Like,
right.
I forgot so much about it, which isn't to say it wasn't good. It's just, you know, it's a thing I appreciate about Doctor Who is that it might not be in the forefront of my mind all the time, but it's pretty easy to recall episode details once I stop and think about it for a minute, which I think is a sign of pretty, if not good, pretty decent storytelling, right?
Right.
But now that I'm sitting here talking about it, it's all starting to flood back, you know, the Santa Claus and the moon or the Arctic base. And, you know, you think about it, you're like, well, none of that made sense. And it should have all been obvious how how dreamlike it was from the beginning. Mm-hmm. But it's Doctor Who, right? Who knows if they were in reality, if they were in the future, the past. Honestly, I love the speculation that Santa Claus was going to wind up being a Time Lord.
Yes, right?
Which I thought was pretty cool. And then
I was the one that was pushing that rumor on the last episode that we had.
And I thought that would have been great. I really did. I love the idea. I mean, you know, when you sit down and really deconstruct it, it might not hold up, you know, like a whole, like the whole Time Lord has been in the Earth Society for all these years and stuff, but they could have made it work. But I think that the dream way they went about it was pretty compelling stuff.
Right.
And then, like you said, the Inception style dream and a dream and a dream, I thought was really, really well done, especially the payoff at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least what I thought the payoff at the end was going to be before they decided to change the ending.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if you want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we could totally do that. We could talk. Yeah.
But I think it holds up now. You know, I haven't watched it back again. Mm-hmm. But I think the fact that I'm sitting here feeling positively about it however many months later and recalling all these bits and these important story bits and the dialogue and the jokes about the alien movies and how no wonder everybody hates your species, right?
Yeah, and it's what's interesting is that – so I admittedly had never seen Alien. I know, massive faux pas. I'd only seen just absolute tiny bits and pieces. Actually, I've only seen tiny bits and pieces of the Alien films. And before I saw this episode. So, and then I think it was February and March, I decided to marathon and go through all the Alien films. This was before, you know, the next Alien movie, the Neil Blomkamp movie was announced. So I marathoned the Alien films, And then when I recently rewatched this Doctor Who episode, I thought, oh man, oh my gosh, oh totally, this is totally Alien. You know, there are parts which are directly taken from that, and I enjoyed it that much more. So it was interesting, because I think I even tweeted out when this episode first aired, I was like, ah, you know, kind of a disappointing night to Christmas and so on. But I ended up enjoying it a lot more for what it was, which was, like you said, it's an homage to several, you know, sci-fi films. And I think that's, I think what Doctor Who tried to do, and this episode especially, because this was a big reset for Doctor Who. Just the Matt Smith years ended fantastically with the anniversary, his transformation, a lot of fan, you know, fan stuff was built into those, that, you know, the 50th anniversary special.
Sure.
And so this was a way for everything to kind of start over again. And so I think this Christmas episode, and I could be way off by saying it or, you know, completely wrong, but I think this was an episode designed for the American audience, because a lot of American sci-fi movies were touched on in this film, right? So again, in this episode, so Alien and Inception. I even think there was, a few other more modern things like Space Odyssey. You know, there was certain things in this that I thought, wow, this is very much, this is the closest we're going to get to like an American Doctor Who episode, I guess, per se, based on American folklore, apart from some of the early Matt Smith or the mid Matt Smith stuff. But so I thought in the end, this was actually a great Christmas episode for American audiences. Maybe not the diehard Doctor Who audience, but for the American audiences, which are just getting into Doctor Who, this could have been a pretty good Christmas introduction.
Sure. You know, it's funny. I never think of those movies as American, contributions. Yeah. I always just think of them as iconic sci-fi films now. Right. So that, yeah, that's interesting. I guess, I mean, you know, there wasn't, unless I'm misremembering, there was a ton of action, you know, when the action happened, it was them kind of trying to run around. It was very, I thought they did a good job in the unique presentation of a Doctor Who Christmas story, because you don't see many Doctor Who stories like that, especially around the holidays, right? And so to have it creepy and tension building, and we got to get out of here, these things are going to come down on us, or we don't know if we're asleep, how long have we been asleep, you know, has this all been a dream, you know?
Sure.
I really dug it, and you know, it wasn't something that had to grow on me. I really liked it from the get-go, from that initial viewing. So again, until the ending, I thought that they had, you know, well, I guess we can talk about the performances first. I thought everything was pretty great. You know, like you were saying, Nick Frost was a great, great Santa Claus.
Oh, he was just he was like that kind of badass joking Santa. I was half expecting him to have a flamethrower at one point, but he comes in, he busts in like the Kool-Aid man and saves the day, which is great. Loved it.
Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome.
So, you know, what else? Let's see. And of course, Capaldi's performance was great. Clara was great.
It pulled at the heartstrings to see, you know, Mr. Pink, Danny Pink back.
One last time.
Oh, and, you know, even though you knew when, as soon as it started happening, it had to be a dream, right?
Right. Yeah.
But still, I don't know if it was because it was Christmas or because I'm just a big old softy, but I was just like, oh man, that sucks.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, we knew she lost him. We thought he was coming back, and then he wound up blowing himself up in the cyber sky or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then to just watch her go through that again, insisting that it was real and fighting with the doctor about it. It was brutal.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was well done. I know not everybody in our group or in general was a fan of that whole arc and his contributions and stuff, but I thought that was really well done.
I ended up in the end being a huge fan of Danny's. I really enjoyed how his character built up over the season. You know, he was kind of this standoffish. He didn't trust a lot of people, and you know, then he started trusting Clara, and obviously they had the romantic relationship. Then he started trusting the doctor, because they're not necessarily polar opposites. They were almost the same level of valiant, caring person in weird ways. So, and respectful of each other. So I thought that ended up working really well. And yeah, and to see him again, it's like, oh man, you know, the double whammy for her. But at least we'll get that great payoff where we find out that she's pregnant with Danny's child.
Nope. We thought that was coming too. Not even close.
So let's dive into the ending, because that was
A little bit of trivia. Yeah, one of the characters, Michael Troughton.
Yes. Yeah.
Was the son of, or grandson, right?
Son. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of a certain doctor, if I have my trivia correct.
Yep.
So I thought that was nice too. I didn't even know he was an actor. So.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the second doctor's son.
Yes. So. And there's been a lot of the doctor families, you know, doctor royalty.
The lineage, right?
Yep. There's that have been on the show. Yeah, definitely.
And if I recall correctly, again, the only character to die in the dream. So
yes, right.
I thought that was kind of funny too. So the ending.
Yes. Why don't you dive in? Explain it.
You know, the explanation is they had one thing filmed and then they changed it and rewrote it to do something different, right? Like, it was going to be the end for Clara. We had heard the rumors, but nobody was sure if they were legit or not. So it turns out they were, and they were, you know, writing her out, like her time was done. And for those of you that have seen the episode, there's this amazing, in my opinion, an amazing moment where the doctor wakes up and he's like, I played this wrong. I got to go fix this.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time he gets back to Clara, you know, he's been gone so long that she's an old woman and she's led a full life, you know?
Yes.
And she never came back for her, or he never came back for her. And it's just great. Like, she's just sitting there. She's old. He's kind of just like, Capaldi just kills it, right? Like, you know, acting through, trying to look tough, but clearly crestfallen and devastated and stuff. And it was great. And that was how it was going to end, is, you know, by the time he returned, Clara was just old.
Mm-hmm.
And he had missed out and he had played it poorly and that was it. But I guess that she changed her mind. Jenna Coleman changed her mind and wanted to stay on the show for at least another season.
Yep.
So they rewrote the ending.
Mm-hmm.
And they erased those 62 years where they went without hanging out and traveling. And everything is fine.
Yeah. And we continue on with Doctor Who. I thought that would have been a fantastic ending, and had they kept it, because again, it would have been a nice bit of closure to Claire, I guess. But at the same time, we still wanted, you know, how there's that big, to me, that big giant hanging thread out there of Danny Pink's grandson or nephew, or I don't know what it was.
Great-grandson,
who tells Clara basically that she is related to him somehow. So it's like, I don't know how that's all going to work.
It may not,
which is so bad, because I hate when Moffat does that kind of stuff. It just leaves things out there and hopes people forget about it. But
I know.
Because I actually enjoyed that episode for what it was, which was, you know, the unknown fear out there. We never found out what that beast was at the end of, you know, at the end of the universe or whatever, but I thought it, I didn't want to know. I wanted the terror, but so that was the ending we never got. But
yeah, and I mean, I'm of two minds on it, because on the one side, you know, the stuff with Clara had been great for most of the season, right?
Yeah,
like she stepped up, she got a character, she was given better, you know, episodes, and then she was great. But on the other side, I thought by the end of the Danny Pink stuff and her tear with the doctor and whatever, like I thought it would have been a very impressive way to write her out.
Right.
And it would have been equally impressive for Doctor Who to go down a relatively dark path, right? Like, it's not like he just was like, all right, we're done, bye. And then, you know, people grow old and find husbands or wives and get married or whatever. It's just like, nope, he forgot. You guys were really mad at each other. He screwed it up, and by the time he came back, it was too late. Like, that would have been really strong, really impressive storytelling for a show that doesn't usually go down that route, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And instead, they just went cookie cutter and then like, oh, that was actually one last dream and a dream and a dream. So everything's okay. And Santa might exist because there's actually a tangerine on Clara's windowsill at the end of the episode. And it's just like, I don't know. I'm looking forward to more Clara stuff, but I would have been really, really impressed if that's how they ended her time.
Yeah, so. I agree. But we're gonna get her at least for you know, for the next season, which is filming right now. A lot of it is being filmed right now. A lot of the episodes are in some levels of production. It looks like there's going to be 12 episodes. It's going to start in late August. But wait, before we get to that, thumbs up or thumbs down? Let me rephrase that. How many tangerines do you give this episode, the Christmas episode?
not dream crabs or face huggers.
Let's be positive. How many dreams within a dream? No,
I'd give it a solid 4. You know, I maybe even 4.5 tangerines. I thought it was good. I really did think it was good. You know, as I always say, I'll leave it open to future rewatching to see if it holds up. But yeah, as it is as a standalone app, I really, really enjoyed it. The ending is always going to bug me a little bit, just thinking about what could have been. So What about you?
I'm going to give it a 3.5, which it wasn't amazing, but yeah. It was enjoyable. It was a nice episode, I guess. It was a nice episode.
Yeah, it was a well done Christmas episode, I think.
I think it's actually a memorable episode.
Yep, that too.
From the just kind of the a little bit more of a more memorable Christmas episode, I think, than some of the other ones in the past. So,
yeah.
So we have let's talk a little bit about season 9, and a lot has come out. Sure. About season 9. We're gonna touch on season 9, touch on a few other little bits of Doctor Who news out there. So start with season 9. There, it looks like there's gonna be about 12 episodes. It's starting in late August, which was around the same time last year, right? That they started, I think it was like the second to last week in August last year that Doctor Who came back. Don't quote me on it. But this year, it looks like there's gonna be a lot of 2-episode arcs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so first things first, Missy is back. She's Michelle Gomez is back as the master, as Missy. And I'm glad she's back, because the way that she was killed, quote unquote, at the end of last season just didn't jive with me. I didn't like that ending, and I'm glad the Doctor has someone who's playfully ambitious to be his she's the Joker to his Batman, I guess, in a way. You know, she's the yin to his yang. I don't think there can be a Doctor without the Master, and vice versa. I think they kind of feed off of each other. So, and she played that part so well, especially in that the episodes leading up to that finale. So yeah, so she is back,
and I think the Doctor as a character, sorry to interrupt, I just think as a character he's better.
Yes.
And the Master is floating out there somewhere in the universe.
When it is a good Master, which exactly. Michelle Gomez is, I think she's an excellent Master. Yeah. Or Missy. And so that, she's in the very first couple of episodes. It's a 2-parter, I believe. It's called The Magician's Apprentice and The Witch's Familiar. Now, we don't know a ton of notes about these episodes, but you know,
I know nothing.
That'll be
far enough out now where I have no idea, except a little bit of casting stuff. Like, I don't even think the synopsis have leaked out yet. So.
No, thankfully. Hopefully episodes don't leak out for this like they did last season and like they did for Game of Thrones. Oh, how horrible. First four episodes of Game of Thrones leaked. Although Doctor Who is consistently one of the more downloaded TV programs out there illegally. So I won't be surprised. So those are the first 2 episodes. There's another 2-episode arc that features. It's written by Toby Whitehouse, who's done some Doctor Who work before. But that's going to feature. There's no names for that yet, but that features Paul Kay. Speaking of Game of Thrones, who many might know as Thoros of Myr. If you watched Game of Thrones, he will be prominent actor within this one. It's great. There have been a lot of Game of Thrones actors on Doctor Who. Obviously, the British connection helps, but a lot have shown up on the TV series. I think that's fantastic, that link there. Episodes 5 and 6, which is kind of the third 2-part arc, is, and this is awesome. This is the one I'm probably looking forward to the entire season, at least from what I've seen so far. It's a two-parter called The Girl Who Died, which is the first episode, and The Woman Who Lived, which is the second episode. So it relates back to The Girl Who Waited, that whole kind of, that naming convention. And I really enjoyed The Girl Who Waited. Was it The Girl Who Waited with Amy? Sean?
What's up?
Was The Girl Who Waited, that was the Amy Pond episode, right?
Yes, where Amy turned to like 800 years
old. Yeah. So this kind of, I think this naming convention fits in with there, which makes me excited. The first part of that two-parter is written by Jamie Matheson, who did Flatline and Mummy on the Orient Express. So two of my absolute favorite episodes of maybe my two favorite episodes of last season. So I'm really excited about that. And the second one is by Catherine Tregenna, who did Out of Time for Torchwood. So there's some veteran work there. But the interesting thing about this is that this season, and especially these two episodes, but the season has been, I don't say kind of dominated, but it has been by the news that Maisie Williams, Game of Thrones fame, Arya Stark, will have a prominent role, especially in these two episodes, right? So well,
at least the most recent new cycle.
Yeah.
You know, first it was Missy returning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first was a show.
Yes.
Film, then it was Missy. Now it's the latest Game of Thrones situation.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
And it sounds like, I mean, it's the usual PR stuff, right? It's like, oh, my character, I can't tell you who she is or if she's mm-hmm. a younger version of this or an older version of that. But I can say she's going to challenge the Doctor, and you haven't quite seen anything like it before.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, okay, well, that's what they all say. So doesn't lessen the excitement, but it's just like, okay, show us or tell us something, please.
I'm excited. I think she's a great young actress. I think she's going to bring me – yeah. She's going to bring a great spin to the show. And they've done a great job of casting over the last few seasons of Doctor Who, especially with Capaldi's work, because the casting, it's been spot on. I thoroughly have enjoyed seeing how they've been bringing in some veteran actors and folks that are a little bit more well-known and how they've been positioning them. So I'm really excited. And then there really isn't any other news for episodes 7 through 12. Obviously,
it's still early.
Yeah. But they could also be two-part arc. So it could be like a 7 and 8, 9 and 10, 11 and 12. So I'm finding that interesting because we haven't seen that kind of stuff for a few years now where we've had multi-episode arcs. I mean, granted, we had the finale last year, but we didn't have anything, for the couple of years before then. So I'm excited.
It sounds
to
like
see.
It'll be a healthy mix. It sounds like it's going to be a mix of two-parters sprinkled throughout and then some individual stuff. And I don't know if maybe they've said this. I haven't heard it or read it, but it doesn't seem like there's going to be any big arc for the whole story.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. I mean, that's, we'll see, right? It's interesting. So
yeah.
I wonder how, any of the dangling threads, I wonder if mm-hmm. any of them are going to come back. Obviously, the Gallifrey thing is still a big point of contention, but I don't really know where else they're going to go. So I do know that, Moffat has said that the tone is going to be similar.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be similar to season 8, and Capaldi is going to be very similar. But supposedly he keeps telling his staff to write him funny, because mm-hmm. anything they give to him, Capaldi can turn into gold. So
right,
which is 100% true.
Yeah,
but
and Mark Gatiss is doing an episode, so it's probably one of the last 7 through 12. And he says it's a darker or a more classic darker Doctor Who type of episode. So I'm interested in seeing him go that route. Gatiss is one of my favorite Doctor Who writers. He's one of the ones we've always thought if anybody was going to take over the show, he'd be a perfect fit. But I'm excited. It should be really interesting this upcoming season. Now that things have settled down, the Doctor knows who he is, and we can go from there. I do hope they bring, who knows with Moffat, I do hope they bring some of the enemies or some of the monsters from the previous season back, like the flat, the two-dimensional, what were they called again? The 2D line people.
Flat line. The shadow people.
we'll get it.
You can tell we're a little out of our normal.
We're a little rusty. We'll get going.
We're in between seasons, damn it.
Yeah, exactly. I think either way, I'm really excited for this upcoming season. I think it's going to be fantastic. I'm hopeful to see a lot of cool things pop up between now and then. It's April right now, so we have May, June, July, August, 4 months away to Doctor Who, which seems like a lot, but it really isn't, because we've already been 4 months basically since the last episode of Doctor Who.
I feel like we're probably, if it follows any of the patterns of the last couple of years and stuff, we're probably a month out from a proper teaser, like one of those, 15 to 30 second, like bunch of sound. I mean, with Capaldi, they did that kind of awesome. Like,
yes.
Yeah. It was basically one scene done from 80 different angles, and it was really cool. And then we'll start hearing more stuff officially, probably in late May and June.
Mm-hmm.
And then July, it'll really amp up until
Comic-Con and so on. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm curious if they'll be at Comic-Con this year. I feel like they haven't gone recently.
Yeah, it's been a few years since they've gone, right?
But that said, if it's anything like last year's blessings and curses of the internet, stuff is going to leak out way before that. You know, people are going to start leaking plot synopses. People are going to start leaking scripts and everything. And not necessarily full episodes, but, you know, there's some amazing sleuths out there. I haven't really checked on it yet, but there's some amazingly sleuthy people who are just like, okay, well, based on these set pictures and the one page of script and the actresses we know are in town for a day, we can accurately guess that the first four episodes are going to cover all this stuff. It's just like, geez, guys, like, it's pretty impressive, but man.
Yep. I am excited. Definitely excited. Well, to keep us going, there's been a few more little tiny bits of news. In celebration of Doctor Who and get people.
Oh yeah. Isn't it like a milestone or something?
Yeah, like a milestone.
What is that? It's like 4 years or five years?
10 years.
10 years
of the return of Doctor Who. It's kind of amazing. It's been 10 years since Christopher Eccleston, first.
You could fit like four doctors in 10 years.
You could fit four doctors in 10 years. And they have. A happy 10-year anniversary to New Who. So that's cool. I doubt there'll be any real celebration.
I don't think they're gonna. Yeah,
they just had the 50th a couple years ago, so that's not that's sucked up a lot of energy. So, I think it's great that they're recognizing it. By one way they're doing it actually is through the BitTorrent bundle that BBC Worldwide released. Have you heard about this? It's they've posted to BitTorrent 10 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say one from each year, or a variation of such. Actually, it might be one from each year. And Peter Capaldi has even kind of given a little bit of a breakdown during these, of some of his favorite episodes during that time. So the episodes include, this is essentially, it's helping celebrate 10 years and help people catch up. So you have Rose, you have The Empty Child / Doctor Dances, you have Girl in the Fireplace, excellent episode. Blink, excellent episode. The End of Time, parts 1 and 2. The Vampires of Venice. I know, right? Perfect.
You were on like a straight upward trajectory there.
Yeah, exactly. The Doctor's Wife, great episode. Mm-hmm. The Rings of Akaten, didn't like that. I didn't like the episode. The Day of the Doctor, which can't beat that. And then Listen, which again, I enjoyed Listen. So it's a good way to kind of catch up fans with some of the more popular Doctor Who episodes over the few years. And it's $12 download. You get all these through BitTorrent. And you can actually say you legally use BitTorrent for legal purposes.
Yeah, I actually hadn't heard of it until you told me about it. And then even then I was like, I don't understand what you're talking about here. it makes me sound so old, but I didn't know.
What's the internet?
I didn't know that they were doing that stuff. I didn't know they were selling stuff like that legally. So, but I think that's fantastic. I think it's a really cool experiment. And I hope it does well for them. I wouldn't buy it, but that's just because I'm kind of a junkie who owns a ton of Who stuff anyway.
Exactly.
But, for people who want that, I think it's great. And I hope it's successful enough that they continue to embrace this digital stuff.
Definitely.
Because they really have in a lot of ways with the Netflix stuff and the Prime and the streaming and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And hopefully from what you hear, like the overnight numbers or like the digital numbers throughout the following week of episodes and stuff like that are taken into consideration in a way that never makes people worry about ratings as they happen live. So hopefully they're still progressive enough and continuing to do that. So
yep.
I think this is a good sign for that.
Yeah, I totally agree. So yeah, it's good to see it with this 10th year of New Who. And that fan video, there was a fan that made a great kind of the more important moments of the last 10 years, splice it all together with some good old fashioned
that was tearful
music. It was well done.
That was really well done.
Just look it up. I'm sure it's out there. I'll see if I remember to post it in the notes here, which I always forget.
If I can be bothered to show you this awesome thing we're talking about,
hey, we're just restarting the podcast. Relax. No, so yeah, check it out. But
we're in between seasons.
Hey, we're in between seasons, getting ramped up. and I think maybe last but not, or a couple, actually, you know, a couple more notes. These notes are book related. There is, first and foremost, there is a, and I'm going to have to look this up right now because I have to let people know where to look for this. But there is a free Lethbridge Stewart book on the market right now. Absolutely free. You can download it. It's a chunky size book. Download it, read it on your preferable choice. You could buy an actual hard copy if you'd like, but otherwise it's free online.
Do you know if that covers his time before or after being a?
I don't know. I haven't. I tell you the truth, I have not read it. But
So you don't know if it's like Cyberbrig?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've got the. Cyberbrig?
I'm going to guess it's not.
No, it's called The Forgotten Son. Here's the synopsis. So, great intelligence has been defeated. Colonel Lethbridge Stewart's world has changed. His life in the Scots Guard was straightforward enough, rising in the ranks, but then his regiment was assigned to help combat the Yeti incursion in London, the robotic soldiers of an alien entity known as Great Intelligence. So he has a mammoth task ahead of him, the repopulating of London. Millions of civilians need to be returned home after being evacuated so suddenly. On top of that, he also has his engagement to think about. So there's a bunch of that kind of, these interesting things that have to take place for Stewart and of Lethbridge Stewart. And of course, there's, other sci-fi elements that are thrown in that he's got to kind of resolve. So, but it's a very classic based.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, it's a classic based piece. And to get it, again, you can, it's a free 65 page ebook you can download. It's a short story. Where you go is candy/jar.co.uk. So candy/jar.co.uk/books/ Lethbridge Stewart, all one word, lethbridgestewart.html. So if you guys can remember that, good luck. It is fantastic. Just do a search for The Forgotten Son, Lethbridge Stewart, Forgotten Son, and you'll find it. It's by Andy Frankham Allen. So get it. I'm going to start reading it here in the next couple days. Another thing, book related, that I've been reading, at the end of last year, right around the beginning of the new year, Titan Books, since they kind of scored the Doctor Who comics, Titan has been releasing comic books based on all four of the most recent Doctors. So they began with Tennant and Smith, and then they released the Capaldi comic book series, and then now they have Eccleston comic book series. So they have four comic series going at the same time based on all four of the Doctors with brand new stories. I don't know if these are canon. I'm going to say they're probably not, but
who knows? You never know.
It's true.
You said that those are not crossovers, right? I feel like you and I talked outside of this.
Right. These are not crossovers. These are all original stories.
Right.
There's nice artwork in these. I've actually been reading the comics, and I ended up holding off on the comics only because I'm a huge fan of graphic novels and I tend to lose comics, but the cover art for the comics has been really awesome. Holding the, can you see this?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So they look like these great like paintings of the doctors, these chalk images of the doctors. Really well done. I've really enjoyed it. And the artwork inside has been really good too. In fact, it's a lot of the folks that have worked on Doctor Who books in the past, and even some folks that are tied to the show and so forth, that have been working on these. So I'm excited. And if anything, it's just great to get more Eccleston stories. The artwork is fantastic in that one. I'm hopeful that they'll get some of the Eighth Doctor in there, or some of the War Doctor, which I think would be so cool. Get some stories out of those. But either way, we have four ongoing Doctor Who comics, each individual Doctor. So totally worth checking out for Doctor Who fan. The first graphic novel collections for the Tennant and the Smith Doctors have been released. So you can grab those out right now. And I think Capaldi's graphic novel collection of, you know, the first four books is going to be out soon as well. So,
to those.
Definitely. They're, it's more Doctor Who. It's a great way to keep us going. And the writing, the great thing about Doctor Who books is the writing tends to fall in line really well with that era, that Doctor. And so Tennant, Smith, Eccleston, and Capaldi have all taken the Doctor on kind of their own spin. And so when you do read literature based on them, it really does feel like it's part of their universe. So yeah, check it out. Very cool stuff. So I think that's basically all I got.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good bridging of the gap, I think. And you know, obviously there'll be more news to talk about. We come back next time. Hopefully there'll be some new set pictures or secrets or accidental spoilery details.
We'll have Stephen and Marcus talking about the Christmas episode and some of the some of their thoughts on the upcoming season on the news.
And then hopefully the next time we all get together, I would like to review for everybody that War Doctor focused novel.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The Engines of War.
So you've like read it
with all of us. I have.
All right, so here we go. We're gonna do a here's an assignment for all of our listeners. And I'll pass this on to Marcus and to Steven. And if we can, the next episode, if not, will be the following one. We're going to get more of these, by the way, folks. These will be – our episodes are going to start up again now. Fairly strong. Our break is over. Maybe that'll be an assignment.
We definitely don't say that every time. And yeah. I definitely don't wink at the camera when we say it.
Considering your camera is turned off, so it's okay. Yeah, no, that would be a fun Doctor Who book club. That might be actually an interesting thing to do while we're waiting, because it did have the all those kind of the mini novellas that were released leading up to the 50th. That could be kind of a fun.
Yeah, I think that could be kind of cool. I devoured this. It was obviously an easy read, right? I mean, it's not like I was reading Lord of the Rings or anything.
Did you find that online, or?
You think it was a gift? I want to say it was a gift.
Okay. Cool.
But it, you know, I got the paperback, whatever. It's a fun read. It's like one more story for a character we may never get stories with again, you know?
Yeah, played by a legendary actor.
Not to give it away, but it's all about the events that lead right up to, I think, what he winds up doing in the 50th. Cool. So cool. It's cool. And I'd love to talk about it in more detail next time. So please. I'm looking forward to that.
So I'll put that word out. Make sure you guys pick it up, and we'll definitely get cranking. I think it'd be a lot of fun. We can start a little mini Doctor Who book club while we're waiting. We also talked about going back and watching some of the older episodes again, or the original Doctor Who episodes. That could be kind of cool. We can do our favorite.
I feel like we can bounce around. You know,
we have a lot of flexibility
about which ones to check out, which each era and stuff. And I'd still like to go back and kind of look at some of the Eccleston and early Tennant stuff.
Yes. Because, yeah.
You know, obviously we weren't doing this when I was watching that, and the show has definitely grown since then. So,
yep, that could be a lot of fun
with our current mindset, like with our current review eyes, to kind of go back to those. So,
agreed.
We'll see. We have some options, folks. You let us know what you think, and we'll
tweet at us. You can tweet at us.
We love tweets.
We love tweets at Lonely Tardis. You can visit us at www.lonelytardis.com. You can rate and review us on iTunes, on Stitcher. Please do so. It definitely helps get our name out there. The more reviews that we have, good or bad, hopefully good, but we're not going to tell you to do good, but hopefully good. tell us what you think, because that helps us, tweak the show and make the changes that we need to have an enjoyable episode each week-ish, if we can. And then you can find us individually. Marcus, of course, he's not here, but you can find him on Twitter at Annoyed Gamer. And he also has a new show on Twitch for Sifted Games. So do a search there. That's a lot of cool. Steven at Steven Strum. And you can read a lot of his work over at Ars Technica and a bunch of other places. So good for him. You can find Sean at Sean Norton, usually talking about food and tons of travel that he does and moving experiences.
Yeah, I don't know how true that is, but you know, I sometimes talk about things and stuff.
Things and stuff. You know, football season's over, but I have an assumption that you'll be chatting about the draft. Maybe, who knows? I don't know. We'll see.
I don't even know how that works, but you can believe I'll be chatting about video games and movies, Avengers, yes, and Ant-Man.
Oh man, cannot
Doctor Who and all kinds of Game of Thrones and all kinds of stuff. So.
Did you see that Ant-Man trailer, by the way?
Way better than the first one.
And did you see the Terminator, new Terminator Genesis trailer?
Yeah, they're doing some weird stuff there.
They are doing some weird stuff. They're very, very Doctor Who-ish timelines crossing.
Yeah, they've got like 8,000 timelines all converging in that movie. It seems like so.
That is produced by Stephen Moffat. No, I'm just kidding.
Marcus would have loved that. So, well, when you get those timey-wimey fools in here, I'm sure it's going to be great. So, on that note, you want to take us out?
Well, yeah, and you can find me at Dolly Domofsky. And thank you.
Thank you.
To another episode of
The
That's like the Captain Kirk, the lounge version. Lonely TARDIS.
Yeah.
Goodbye.